The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We had two game sevens on a Sunday as Luke and the Mavs at No Moss to the number one seeded Phoenix Suns, not just setting them packing in Phoenix, but blowing them out by 33. There are levels to this, and Luka is on another one, 35-10-4. As for the Suns, not the performance they hoped for. Chris Paul had 10 points, Devin Booker 11. Here's the point guard postgame.
You know, you play long enough and you don't win. Every time you lose, they're going to say it was your best chance. But I think for me, us, is we'll be right back next year, tell you that much. I'm not retiring tomorrow, thank God. You know, hopefully I'm healthy, come back, but we'll keep playing.
All right, let's take a look at the numbers. Chris Paul has now blown five series after losing two games to none in his career. This is two more than any player in NBA history. Paul's performance in Game 7 didn't help the Suns' chances. He had a negative 39 plus minus, the worst of any game in his entire career. J.J. Redick, Pat Beverly still here with us. Stephen A., I know you wanted to say something quickly before we get to the debate.
I just wanted to sit up there and just tell Patrick Beverly one thing. Don't ever call you and James Harden like y'all are alike. That's James Harden's problem. Patrick Beverly don't show up out of shape. Patrick Beverly is going to be whoever Patrick Beverly is. Whatever you're going to get from Patrick Beverly, and defense is your thing, that's what you're going to get. The problem with James Harden is that he doesn't give you what he needs to give you when it counts most. I love the brother. I'm wishing him well. You know, I know what a big-time talent he is, but he ain't you. If he had that mentality, he wouldn't have took two shots in the second half of a closeout playoff game. Don't ever say that again.
I have no comment.
Don't ever say that again. Okay. Let's move on.
All right. We'll go back to Chris Paul there. So was this CP3's last shot at a title?
Season? I believe it is.
I agree with
that. You get your chance. Here's the deal. Golden State, I believe, is going to be even better next year because I think Klay will be better. I think Jordan Poole will be better. I think Wiseman will be back. You'll have an additional big body. Steph Curry ain't fading because shots like that don't just go away. And I think that Golden State is going to be a team to be reckoned with. Dallas is clearly going to be a team to be reckoned with. I'm going to give Minnesota some love since Bev is sitting right next to me because Carl Anthony Towns can ball. That brother Anthony Edwards is something different. That brother is something different. He is something different, and he's coming. Memphis is here. They just had to go through what they had to go through. Don't ignore Memphis. Now, I don't know how they're going to keep it together in the future because you got a lot of cats that's going to be looking to get paid in the next couple of years or so. But I think next year Memphis is going to be there. So that's four teams right there. We got to sit up there. You got Golden State. You got Dallas. You got Memphis. You got Minnesota. All right.
Healthy Denver.
A healthy Denver. Oh, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. coming back. We can't ignore them. That's five right there. Okay. Clippers, if Kawhi and Paul George come back healthy, which we have every reason to believe is going to happen. That's 16.
You haven't said the Lakers yet.
After 16. I haven't said the Lakers yet because I want to see who they're going to hire as their coach.
Okay.
That matters to me. That matters to me.
Because more than their roster?
I'm not saying more than their roster, but I think the coach is going to have something to do with the roster that you see. Right. You got to have somebody that's going to hold cats accountable, sit them down,
I'm just
move
questioning
out of the way.
I'm just questioning. I don't want to talk about the Lakers right now because we're just
listening. Well, you want to bring them up.
No, but
and he did.
You said the Lakers, and I have a problem with this.
No, he said it. I didn't bring up the Lakers.
The Lakers, you said the coach.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter who the coach is with that roster.
No.
And what pass do they have to?
You're going to change, but it starts with.
What do you change about the roster?
All of the. Don't give me. Well, Russell Westbrook will be gone. Russell Westbrook will be gone. To me, you can't. He can't. That's not a fit for him. Number one. Number two. You can't be at their press conference talking about you wearing purple and gold, and you arrived and you never had any expectations. That's not what Lakers basketball is all about. You got to make a move. So in that regard, Anthony Davis just got to get healthy. If Anthony Davis is healthy and LeBron is healthy, they're going to be somebody to mess with, no doubt. But I get without the Lakers, I gave you six teams before I even got to the Phoenix Suns. And all I'm saying to you is this. I think this was Chris Paul's best chance as presently constructed. Of course, Phoenix can make a deal and something could change. But as presently constructed, this is it. Phoenix will not be in this position next year as presently constructed. I think this was CP3's best chance.
Why are we, again, and I don't want to keep beating on the same drum, but why are we steady mentioning Phoenix Suns, like established basketball?
Because they were the defending Western Conference champions last year, and they won 64 games this year.
That's it.
That's why.
So that's why you give them.
No, I'm saying that's why we were talking about
them. Okay. All right, I got it then. I understand. So I just have to go to the Western Conference, and I have to win a bunch of games, and then I'll be considered the Minnesota Timberwolves will be considered one of the greatest teams. Okay, got it.
One of the greatest teams ever. The greatest team. If you won 64 games this year and was the number one seed fresh off of getting to the finals the year before, we'd have been talking about you, too. But with all due respect, Patrick Beverly, y'all did get bounced out of there. Yeah,
50 games.
Okay, but you lost the first round, right?
Yeah.
Did you?
We did.
Okay.
I'm just because I was on the last show and I'm, what a guy was Windhorst or whatever guy's name is.
Windhorst.
Yeah. He spoke about this team being a great team, and I just was trying to get the definition of a great team. So 63 games is a great team.
I think being in the finals last year and a chance potentially to go to the Western Conference
Unless you're willing to stay for the record, the regular season doesn't matter.
No, I didn't say.
I know you didn't say that.
I said health matters though.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If Kawhi was healthy.
You did say 50 games. Did y'all win 50 games?
Yeah.
Did you say that? Did you bring that up?
Yeah.
So what'd you say about 64 wins then?
I guess they're a great team.
All right. And they lost.
Yeah.
All right. JJ, get in here. Is this CP3's last shot at winning a title?
As president constructed, absolutely it is. I think they missed a big opportunity at the trade deadline to get a third shot creator. You know, a guy like Eric Gordon, they maybe could have got. And granted, Eric Gordon is not a superstar, but when they blitzed Devin Booker, and they basically blitzed CP, or they switched everything with CP. He wasn't able to get to the elbow. They needed a guy who could get a shot. They needed a guy who could put pressure on the rim. Eric Gordon drives, and he hits three. Mm-hmm. And that's not the Phoenix Suns shot profile. That's the guy they're missing to me, is a guy like that. The big question mark about them going forward, what do they do with DeAndre Ayton? Because at times, I think sometimes I look at their team, and Ayton's fantastic.
He's okay.
Well, okay, that's fine. He's fantastic at punishing mismatches. In the two-man pick and roll with him and CP, they're the number one offensive duo among high-volume pick and roll players. Mm-hmm. So he is fantastic.
He's going to be.
He is fantastic. And he's 22 years old.
CP's going to have that with any rolling big. So that's not.
Okay.
Had it with DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan's
but
fantastic.
Again, I'm talking about the last 2 years. You go back six NBA seasons, that was the best duo. So anybody that Chris Paul has played with, that was the best duo in the pick and roll.
Okay.
Just DeAndre Ayton. So he is fantastic already. But my point is, there's times where I think, you know, having that traditional rim-protecting, rim-running big, like he's the one guy on your roster that you could facilitate a sign-and-trade with and potentially bring back a third player, a wing player that can get you buckets, they can guard. They just don't have that third option right now.
Let me say this to you about DeAndre Ayton since you brought his name up. And I want to make sure that I'm clear about this. I'm not questioning how good he is. He's young. He's talented. He's a seven-footer. I think he's got some promise. No doubt about that. He wants max dollars. I'm not sure he deserves that. But I will say this to y'all, because you do pay for projecting. Mm-hmm. What you're going to do moving forward. You were drafted number one in the same draft that Luka Doncic was taken.
And
you got Trae Young. You got and Trae Young. Huh? Well, I just wrote up because of yesterday's match.
Right.
Well, Trae Young wasn't a part of yesterday's match, but obviously. Oh. See, what Trae Young has in his favor, since you just brought him up, is that Trae Young had big moments in the postseason, mm-hmm, where he showed up and he showed you that he was worthy of the praise.
Lights gets bigger, he gets bigger.
Way. That's right. Lights get bigger, he gets bigger.
Agreed.
We agree.
Agreed.
Right? Same thing with Luka. When you DeAndre Ayton and you know that Luka's against you and it's a game seven. I know it's not a direct matchup. It ain't like he defending against Luka. It's not like Luka got the ball in his hands. He's a center. He's relying on CP and others to get him the ball. I understand. But at the same time, 5 points, 2 of 5 shooting in a game seven. See, that kind of stuff matters.
I'm going to look at JJ.
Because what I'm saying
is, Let's go down the line on the Phoenix Suns roster. They all sucked last night. Should none of them get paid in the future? Are all of them horrible players?
Are you going to answer? Your own question, I'll let you.
No.
You want me to answer it?
Is that what you're getting at?
No.
I'm confused.
No, what I'm saying to you is,
there's a reason they didn't max him, Stephen A. There's a reason they didn't max him. It has nothing to do with playoff performance. He was good in the playoffs last year. The reason they didn't max him is because there's questions about his attitude and character.
JJ,
boom, there you go.
One of the things you do as a reporter, You don't just talk to players. You actually go talk to the people who cut the checks, too, and to see what they're thinking, whether they're right or wrong, because a lot of times they're wrong. You guys, you can find I don't like the contract you have. I think you deserve more.
Yeah,
I think you deserve more, okay? I didn't want you to retire, remember that? I was like, the worst thing Philadelphia did was let you and Jimmy Butler walk out the door. As far as I'm concerned, make one more run at it. You should have never been to New Orleans. You should have been right there with Jimmy Butler. Philadelphia might have won a chip, in my estimation, if the two of you were there with Embiid and stuff like that. Hell, Ben Simmons might not have taken a break. I mean, for all we know. I mean, look, miracles could have happened. What I'm saying is, moments like yesterday matter, because people who cut checks look for an excuse not to give it to you. Mm. Even if they're wrong, they look for an excuse not to give it to you. And it's important that you don't provide it to them. And when a game seven arrives, that's an important moment. It dictates a lot. And if you are DeAndre Ayton, they're going to remember that. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's important to
know. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's a valid point. I basically was agreeing with you without, you know, you getting to your point, and it's a valid point. I think the thing to note with DeAndre Ayton is how he views himself. You know, prior to Chris Paul going there, he was a 20-point-per-game scorer. He was the number one pick. He was, like, the guy besides Devin Booker.
Okay.
So he's had to, in some ways, and I'm not saying he's done it, but in some ways he's had to sacrifice usage on that team. So he views himself as a max player. And then you get to the playoffs and you go halves without him touching the basketball. And a lot of that has to do with the Dallas defense. Because, again, they're not operating in drop coverage. He's not getting those little 15-foot floaters. He's not getting the pocket pass with rolls all the way to the rim. Mm-hmm. And so there's a level of frustration. I did game six. He didn't get the ball to the second half.
Well, go get it off the rim, seven-footer.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of bricks that Booker and CP putting up there.
Right.
So if you're great, what would Shaq do? Give me the ball. I'm going to dunk it. I don't want to hear none of that.
I'm
all about greatness.
I'm not saying
it's right. What would Wilt Chamberlain do?
I'm not saying
what would Shaquille O'Neal do? Yeah. Get it off the rim. I don't have it in the pick and roll. I'm going to get it off the rim. I'm going to go get it.
And one of the things that buffers Bev's point is that if you listen to Shaquille O'Neal, what does he always say? He's always bringing that up about the bigs. He's always saying, listen, sure you should be getting the ball. Sure the guard's responsibility to get you the ball, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't, you got to find a way to go and have an impact.
And I guarantee.
You got to do it.
And I guarantee if he was to go up there, get three offensive rebounds and three dunks, I guarantee they'd post him the fourth time.
But some of that to me is they didn't post him. And he shot 65% this year against mismatches. Mm-hmm. Anytime they switched, they didn't look for him. And when they did, he scored.
Okay, hold
on. So some of that is on the Suns' guard.
Everyone's trying to find a way, and I'm trying to find a way to get into commercial break real quick. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. The Saints continue to revamp their wide receiver group, signing five-time Pro Bowler Jarvis Landry, the former LSU star. Landry confirmed the signing by posting on social media, "Ho'em Houdat Nation, see you soon." And speaking of social media, legendary former Saints quarterback Drew Brees tweeted the following on Sunday, "Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I will let you know." Meanwhile, Saints coach Dennis Allen said today at the Saints Hall of Fame golf tournament, he thinks the comments were just made in jest and there have been no discussions about Brees coming back to the Saints. You know who is coming back to First Take? Our quarterback, Dan Orlovsky. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, my brother? Show has been must watch this morning. It has been gasoline. Well,
I appreciate
done.
That, but I kind of think that's the way every
always
morning.
Is.
But I get your point. Honestly.
Always is, but it's been great.
I think he's saying he likes Pat Bev. That's
yeah, Bev, Bev, Bev's that
the
dude.
Whole conversation has been dude. Great. Everyone.
JJ Redick, JJ Redick, you know, Mr. Male Model. Yeah, he's doing good too. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Dan, obviously it's been an interesting weekend for the Saints, but obviously we know Jameis is still their quarterback. So, Stephen A., do you think they can win the NFC with Jameis at the helm?
Hell no. I don't believe that. I have no reason to believe that because of Jameis Winston only, though. The defense is real. Alvin Kamara is still there. They drafted Olave. Michael Thomas is still there for the time being. You just picked up Landry. They have weapons everywhere. But I'm one of those guys, Mr. Orlovsky, that if there's a question mark about you at the quarterback position, then I'm not a believer. Because I believe ultimately that is what will come back to bite you. I want to emphasize that is all I'm talking about. With the New Orleans Saints, I'm not questioning Coach Allen, who's been under Sean, you know, Sean for years, okay? Okay, I got all of that. We understand what they're bringing to the table. They've got a guy that's been in the system for many, many years, and now he's been elevated to this position, and we get where he's coming from, okay? We know what Alvin Kamara brings to the table when he's healthy. We know what potential Olave has. We know what Landry can do. We know what a healthy Michael Thomas can do. The defense is big time. There are, as far as I'm concerned, when I look at the New Orleans Saints, they have everything else but the quarterback, and I'm wishing Jameis Winston well. I'm not rooting against him. But as far as I'm concerned, if I'm the New Orleans Saints, and I'm going to say this, and this sounds almost sacrilegious, but to me it is not. Look, Drew Brees, my brother, you know, the broadcast booth didn't work out so well in your first year. You got a chance. You know, you can go back there in the future. Take a year or two away from that. You know, hone your skills a little bit. Go back and play lights out. You know, do lights out, and you'll be in a booth for Fox or somebody. We got all that. But right now, Drew Brees, right now, look at the crew we got. If you were quarterbacking us, you sure we wouldn't do damage? Why don't you come back, bro? Why don't you come back?
No.
If I'm the New Orleans Saints, that's what I do. Look, we give Jameis Winston an extra year to get the – plus he's coming off a nasty injury anyway. So guess what? I mean, look, come on back, Drew Brees. You had a year. You know you miss us. We miss you. Come on back. All come right. on home, baby. Come on home. That's what I'm doing. I promise you he's still living there. I promise you he's still living there. I mean, listen, tell him to come on home.
Indeed.
That's what I do all out. Right.
Okay, so first of all, yes, the Saints can absolutely win the South with Jameis Winston
no,
as their starting
the
quarterback.
The NFC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. They are 2 weeks ago, I said they were the third best team in the conference. This was before the Landry addition, before the Tyrann Mathieu addition. I think it's the Rams, the Bucks, and the Saints are neck and neck with each other. All right, the Drew Brees part of this. Drew Brees is not going to go play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, and I don't think the New Orleans Saints should want him to play quarterback for them. I was the person all of Drew Brees' last season constantly saying on television, where and who are they going to find the explosive plays from offensively? This was a Saints offense that would take Drew Brees off the field and sub on Taysom Hill to try to push the football downfield. Now, after a year of being in television and not keeping his body at the optimal health and strength, not keeping that arm as strong as possible, because that was the great diminishment, you think that he should go back just because they have more weapons? They can't push the football downfield with him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest ever. I don't think the Saints would want him back. I don't think there's many teams in the NFL that would want him back. The arm strength is the biggest issue. Now, back to why I think the Saints can win the division and the NFC with Jameis. And I think you're being a little bit unfair to Jameis Winston, Stephen A. Number one, go back to Tom Brady's first couple months in Tampa Bay. Remember, the conversation about Jameis Winston was the interceptions. The first couple months in Tampa Bay, Tom Brady playing under that Bruce Arians system in Tampa, throwing a lot of interceptions. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, what's going on, Tom Brady? And I think that we learned a little bit that offense really did promote interceptions being thrown by the quarterback. I'm not absolving Jameis. It does. So all of a sudden, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever, goes somewhere new, is running a new offense, throwing a bunch of interceptions, and there's no correlation. It's just coincidence. And then they change the offense, back to what Tom wanted to do, and he threw less interceptions. I think we've got to give some credence to that for Jameis.
I got to interrupt. So Bruce Arians has been around a long time, right?
Sure.
Been around a long time.
Great
and
coach.
Obviously, he's coached in Arizona before he went to Tampa Bay. Prior to that, he had the stint in Indy when Pagano went down due to his illness, and we're glad, you know, we hope everything's still well and stuff like that, right? We got all of that, right? And he was the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
So he had a system. Anybody else throw 30 interceptions in the season under Bruce Arians?
No, but his quarterback.
Thank you!
All right. So, listen, his quarterbacks notoriously threw a lot of picks. Carson Palmer, Big Ben, even Andrew Luck under him. They did. That is fact. That is not feeling. Second thing, listen, I was critical of Jameis as well. When you are playing on a team that you don't feel is, you know, necessarily around you, talented enough, you're the number one pick. I got to go prove it. I think interceptions were a little bit more exacerbated because of the situation. My second point is this, Stephen A. What he did last year means nothing. What Jameis Winston did in those seven starts means absolutely nothing. That he threw 16 touchdowns, three picks, had a career high in QBR, passer rating, a career high in yards per attempt. That's maybe we did see a guy that's.
But do you have any concern, Dan? I agree with you. He got that under control. But do you have any concern that Sean Payton's not there anymore?
No, because the guy that was in lockstep with Sean Payton is guy Pete Carmichael, who was there calling plays many a times with, in conjunction with Sean Payton. Now he's just taken over that role predominantly.
Okay. Which is even more of a reason Drew Brees should come back.
No.
It's even more of a reason.
Stephen A., they can't throw the football 25 yards down the field.
Excuse me. All right. So the guy's got no arm, sugar, whatever. I do recall the man has thrown for 80,000 yards in his career, 571.
You think Drew Brees really wants to come back?
Personally, I think he would if you came to him and asked him to. And by the way, a 67.7% completion. Listen, I like Jameis Winston. I'm rooting for him. I hope that he has a bright future the whole bit. He ain't no Drew Brees, man.
Of course he's not. Drew Brees is one of the greatest of all time.
I'm just saying, but the point is that you're talking about an inability to throw the football downfield. I'm just saying to you, the bottom line is he's the best option you got if the other option is Jameis Winston.
I would say two things. No, Jameis Winston did last season without Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, and Michael Thomas. He should be better than even the 16 touchdown, 3 interception, QBR, PR, all that stuff. He'll be better because of that. Okay. But I would even say this, Molly.
Yeah.
If you're a team, take the leadership apart because that's part of this. If you could have Drew Brees right now or Baker Mayfield right now, you no question want Baker Mayfield. So you can no question would want Jameis Winston.
Over Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll wait for you to get back in studio, bro. I'm not gonna listen. I got NBA.
I will say
I got NBA on my mind.
But Stephen A.,
I'm disgusted with this. He knows better.
That division isn't that tough outside of Tampa.
I didn't say the division. We asked about the NFC.
Yeah, but New Orleans has had their number. Oh, yeah, the NFC.
I said the NFC. I didn't say the NFC South.
That's a top five defense that added Tyrann Mathieu.
Easy.
And it's an offense that is getting Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, and Chris Olave.
They got Michael Thomas.
I mentioned all of that. I just said the quarterback position is the lone issue I have with New Orleans.
All right, Dan, you know what the headline's going to be. Baker Mayfield over Drew Brees, okay? So just get ready for it. Still come on First Take. It's the business we're in. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Time for a quick take. Stephen A., Jermell Charlo became the undisputed champion of the junior middleweight division after knocking out Brian Castaño in the 10th round on Saturday night. Charlo is the 9th undisputed male champion in the 4-belt tour. Who should Charlo fight next?
Well, listen, he's not going to fight Errol Spence Jr. because they're like brothers. And on top of it all, Errol Spence Jr. is committed to being at 147 until he fights Terrence Crawford. It would be nice for one of those dudes to move up to fight this guy, because this guy is a champion. His brother's big time as well in the middleweight division. I'm sick and tired of the Charlo brothers being ignored in terms of us talking about big time fighters who need a big time fight. They need to fight a big name. They deserve it. They've earned it, both of them.
The Miami Heat going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
We realize that the job's not finished.
But once again, I like our chances.
On my grind, I work hard. Lord, and we both till I'm missing you more. Welcome to a different zone.
The Boston Celtics advance to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It means we got to get over that hump. Can't be satisfied.
Miami is not going to back down. They're not going to give up.
We're not scared of nobody.
And neither are we.
It's us versus everybody, and that's the mentality we have, and that's the mentality we're going to keep.
Take it back to the 305 and work our way towards this championship.
Thinking about it, thinking about it, trimming the mind.
Even with the Heat being the higher seed and being favored by two in game one, the Celtics are the favorites to win the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat and Celtics played three times during the regular season, with the Celtics winning two of those games. JJ, who has more to prove? Is it Jason Tatum or Jimmy Butler?
Oh, man. Well,
great question.
It's a tough question, because I think they're both fantastic players, and in some ways they're similar players, big wings that play both sides of the basketball. You know,
you say that plays both sides?
Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum, yeah, yeah.
Jason Tatum plays both?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he does.
Oh, I'll just make
yeah, yeah. Did you watch the Nets series at all?
No, yeah, a little bit. I just.
Okay, okay. But I, you know, for me, it's got to be Tatum. And the only reason I say that is I go back to 2020, and I know the bubble didn't count, according to Pat Beverly. But, you know, in that Eastern Conference Finals, Jimmy Butler got past the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. and then went toe-to-toe against LeBron in the finals. Mm-hmm. And so he has proven he can lead a team to the NBA Finals. Obviously, both of these players are without rings. Jason Tatum, three conference finals in 5 years. But again, I think just because of that one series, I got to go with Tatum. But look, do they have to prove anything? I don't know. Like, they're both.
You don't like my question?
No.
Did I ask
both
you?
Awesome.
Did I ask
they're
it okay
awesome.
For you though?
They're both
I asked
awesome.
The right question. Just
yeah.
making sure. Okay.
Yeah.
To me, it's Jimmy Butler, and I want to say this because listen. You got a whole bunch of dudes that get sensitive these days. And I mean, Jimmy Butler is like, you know, people doubting him or whatever. Not me.
Who you say sensitive? What do you mean? Like, what?
I'm talking about you have players that, you know, they hear what's that. Like a Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Like a Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Like, you know, where you think people are doubting you. No.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler's a star in this league. Jimmy Butler's a rough rider. We know what Jimmy Butler brings to the table. I said it before and I'll say it again. The Philadelphia 76ers should have never lost Jimmy Butler. Especially, first of all, because he could play it. Secondly, because of how tight he and Embiid were. When you got a brotherhood like that and they're high-end producers, you don't separate that. If you got to overpay a little bit, you overpay. You do what you got to do. You should have never let them go. You should let you go either, okay? Here's where I'm at with this, though. Jimmy Butler, 32. Jason Tatum's about 8 years younger.
All right.
And so when I look at Jason Tatum, you already been to like three or four conference finals, and you're 24 years old. You got time on your side. Time running out on Jimmy Butler. You don't get this many opportunities. You got to the finals, you showed you could lead your team, and you balled out in the NBA finals, so he deserves a lot of credit for that. He doesn't shrink beneath the moment. The lights get brighter, Jimmy Butler gets brighter. Mm. Okay, we know that about him. But in the same breath, you also got to look at that dust on that birth certificate. You ain't getting younger. You're getting older, and the opportunities that are going to be there for you may be sparse, to say the least. And so I'm looking at it from the standpoint that Jason Tatum ain't got nothing but time on his side. Not only are you young, you got another young stud with you in Jaylen Brown and a young coach. Not to say that Jimmy Butler doesn't have that in Eric Spoelstra, but the point that I'm making is the opportunities are not going to be there as a plenty for Jimmy Butler as they are for Jason Tatum. And that's why I'm where I'm at with that.
No comment. I agree with everything you said. I mean,
yeah, that is a comment.
I mean,
you agree with me. You agree with me. All right.
But for the most part,
you're co-signing.
Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, you made two valid points. I mean, the youth of Jason Tatum and the getting out the mud, as you type a quote with Jimmy Butler. So I mean, it's a toss up for me.
Yeah. And I also look at it from this perspective as well. You're Miami, you're the number one seed. You got home court advantage. The road to the finals got to come through your house. What you going to do to protect it? All of these things matter.
We just saw the sports book graphic up there.
I really I don't give a Caesars, damn about the sports book.
Caesars,
I
never have.
I talked about this in the opening hour, though, Stephen A. Right. And I think most people in the NBA world right now are picking the Celtics.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I think Caesars is, and Vegas clearly picking the Celtics.
But it's tight.
Yeah. So
it's tight. Well, Jimmy Butler can swing the balance. Yeah. He can swing the balance.
So can Jason Tatum.
All right.
So who's got more pressure now?
And I think it's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's clearly
because of his birth certificate.
Well, that they're the number one seed. He's already proven that he can lead a team. When he did it by taking Miami to the finals, even though you don't count the bubble, and I understand that. The bottom line is this ain't the bubble now. What you gonna do now? Because Jason Tatum's been knocking on the door for a few years, even though he's considerably younger.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to that. And I know you have love for Miami, obviously. You said it earlier because they drafted you, et cetera. But you're the only one on this set that thinks Miami's going to win. Is that picking with your heart or with your head? Tell me why you think Miami has the edge.
I'll go back to coaching. Coach Spo. They're going to be the most prepared team. And that's not to discredit
Udoka
on the other end. I just know Spo. They're not going to play any games with this. They've had a little taste of it in the bubble, and they want more, you know. And I don't think they're going to come up short this year.
I will say this: I'm worried about Boston when it comes to Robert Williams. I think you need somebody like him in the series. Now, one would argue you needed him even more because of Milwaukee's size in the last series. But I think with Bam Adebayo and the activity that he brings to the equation, I just think that having Robert Williams in there, I think that helps immensely.
Is Miami deeper?
Deeper than Boston? I would have told you yes before this series against Milwaukee. But watching some cats come off the bench and do some of the things that they've done, I would still say Miami because Oladipo has really shown, he's reminded us of what he's capable of doing. Obviously, I'd say Miami.
You think Duncan Robinson is going to play?
I think he should. I think you find a way. I don't think that – I didn't understand how – what he played, 1 minute the first four or five games of this series against
and they got a 5-minute run.
I was surprised by that. Listen, you ain't paying $90 million to just sit on the bench. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you expecting him. He's a sniper, and you expect him to be able to at least give you that. So I was surprised. But if you didn't play him against Philadelphia, how the hell are you going to play him against Boston? Mm. The way they get out on shooters. How are you going to play him against Boston if you couldn't play him against Philly?
Interesting.
Right. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. We'll leave it there. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. With the Rangers and Flames advancing, let's take a look at the second round odds. The one-seeded Hurricanes are currently favored over the Rangers for the series in Game 1, and the one-seeded Flames are favored of the Oilers for both as well. Wednesday night on ESPN, you'll be able to see both of the Rangers and Flames in their second round series at 7 and 9:30.
Let's do that hockey. Let's do that hockey.
Listen.
Let's do it.
These playoffs have been wild. We'll keep it going here, guys. Luka and the Mavs shocked the Suns in a blowout fashion to take Game 7 yesterday. The Dallas superstar, 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals in only 30 minutes and said, "You can't get the smile off my face right now." But will he be smiling after taking on Steph in Golden State in the Western Conference Finals? That is the question. Stephen A., did the Mavs have a shot versus the Warriors?
Yes, they do. They won't win. Now, who the hell am I to say that after how wrong I was about my prediction in Game 7? I had it right up until that damn last game. You know, I had to apologize to Jason Kidd this morning. It is what it is. I'm going with the Warriors. I'm not jumping off this bandwagon. See, because Warriors ain't going to miss shots the way Phoenix was missing them yesterday. That ain't going to happen. And I'm worried. Don't get me wrong. I will say this. I've been on the record, Bev. JJ knows this. I've been with the Warriors all season long. The Warriors and how they've looked the last three games, They ain't winning the chip. They keep playing this way. I just don't believe it'll last. I believe Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Jordan Poole will find their groove against Dallas. I think that Dallas will win a couple of games. I can see I got the Warriors in six. That's where I'm going with this right now. That's my belief. Warriors in six, and they go back to the finals.
Can't disagree with that. I think the Warriors have one thing that a lot of teams don't have, and that's a defensive, like, consistent presence. I believe Draymond Green can guard Luka. I really do. He's not one of those wiry guards where you can just bang and post. He's not one of those guys who leaves his feet all the time. He's, you know, they have, you know, no disrespect to their body types, but they kind of have a similar kind of husky body type. You know, you just can't bag them down. You just can't hit Draymond with one move into the hole. So they have somebody that can kind of, you know, I wouldn't say guard Luka, but make it hard on him. Wiggins, the rookie.
Kuminga.
Cowabunga. I don't care how you say his name.
Kuminga's his name.
Yeah, that's
Kuminga's
his name. Yeah, but he's a rookie, so I'm not going to give his real name yet. But, yeah, there's some people down on their team that can guard him. And Luka, he's going to be in chase mode all night. You got to chase Steph Curry around, Poole around, Klay around, and, you know, we'll see how it goes after that.
The Mavs definitely have a chance in the series, obviously, because they have Luka Doncic.
A chance to what?
A chance in the series.
So?
Oh, to chance.
To what?
I think, well, you know, again, you don't particularly appreciate the Suns and how good they were this year, and I'm okay with that.
We're talking about Dallas.
But I think we should give some credit to Jason Kidd and the game plan that he had from game three on. They attacked Chris Paul. They blitzed him. They blitzed Booker. Like, nothing the Suns did was comfortable. And so I'm very curious to see what his game plan is with the Warriors, who are a very different team than the Suns. Different shot profile, different offensive movement. I'm also curious to see who he targets. You know, the Mavericks, they're one of the top teams in the league in terms of ISO possessions per game. Golden State is in the bottom half of the league in guarding ISOs. So I get your Draymond. I don't think Draymond can guard Luka one-on-one.
But those statistics are based off unhealthy Golden State team also. Draymond Green, he's been hurting them in half the season. So
okay.
those numbers aren't as accurate as, you know, those numbers are.
Let me say this.
And we did give Jason Kidd a lot of credit. Right. He texted him. Yeah. I gave him credit. You gave him credit. That's enough credit.
No.
I mean, how much trust you want us to give him? Jason, he did a hell of a job.
He can easily say he was the MVP of Game 7 the way that he coached, no doubt about it. What I would say to you is this, though. When you look at it, can Draymond guard Luka? Yeah, but not for a long period of time. I think he'll find himself in foul trouble. I'm looking at the combination of Draymond. I'm looking at Andrew Wiggins. I'm looking at Kuminga and Klay. Now, Klay isn't the defender that he once was. He's coming back from his injury, had a 2-year layoff. I think he'll be even better next year than he was this year. But I'm just saying, you've got some bodies that's legit 6'6", 6'7". This ain't Luka with CP3 defending him. Okay, and you know CP3 coming up to the middle of his back, for crying out loud. That's how short he is compared to Luka. They got some size on Golden State, who know how to move their feet. Now that doesn't mean that Luka's not going to get his. He'll get his, but it'll be tougher. And I also think that other dudes are gonna find it tough to get off as well. The Dinwiddies, the Klebers of the world, the Dorian Finney-Smiths of the world, people like that. Even the Jalen Brunson, who I've been impressed by doing that throughout these playoffs. I just think it's going to be considerably tougher for them, Golden State. I got Golden State in six.
Let's make some picks. Golden State in six.
Golden State championship.
Okay. You want to give me games or?
No, I don't care however it goes. Win is a win.
Okay.
As long as you win.
I think Golden State wins the series, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We got more. Favorite college basketball player?
Respect.
You can't.
J.J. Redick
you
was my favorite.
Like, he wasn't your favorite.
He was my favorite basketball player. I wanted to go to Duke when I was a kid. I watched everything he did. You know.
What did you like the most about him?
How he came off screens. Mm. And they put me in the same kind of offense when I was in college. That's how I got freshman of the year. So credit J.J. Redick.
I love it.
Love that. And look at me on TV right next to him. I couldn't make this up, man. I got water behind me. I got Molly here, Stephen A, man. Life is good, man.
Yeah. Here you go.
Life is good.
By the grace of God.
That's 16 years ago, him and I met in spring of 2006.
Yep.
At St. Monica High School in Santa Monica. And he told me the same thing then.
Is that St. Monica's church?
I don't know. It was a high school gym.
I'm saying, is that what it is? It was a high school gym we trained at.
And Pat came through. It's the church.
Yeah. I go to in California. Yeah. That's why I was curious. It's just very random of all the places. We'll pick people up full there.
They hated me there too. See, that's the thing about 9-4. I mean, 94 feet. I call myself 9-4. I've been the same person since I got here.
That's true.
I don't change.
And the person, I don't same get person money. I've known you.
I've been the same
been
person.
The same guy.
And you know what? Your path has served you. Because that's why you are a dog out there doing what you do.
Thank you.
It's the truth.
Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
And
you did good. You did good today, man.
Solid.
You did good.
Solid.
I'm pleased.
Be a little bit better.
I'm pleased.
I like the three button. I couldn't go with this. The three button feel makes me feel a little younger up here, though. Mm-hmm. A little three button joint. So,
When you that dog, you ain't supposed to be worried about whether you look, you feel young.
But you have the viewers.
You ain't got to worry. That's what I'm saying. You're supposed to be worried. Since when you were worried.
I have to.
Since when you've been worried.
This is a different profession.
I think the viewers.
And be a dumb athlete now.
All right. We'll leave it there.
Thank you, though.
Thank you. JJ, you'll be back with us tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You sure?
Good stuff.
Yeah, you sure? I hope so. Right. You invite me back.
No, of course.
I heard some. Pat, you're back tomorrow, too. Yeah.
I didn't know that. You're coming back for more.
We got the whole crew tomorrow?
Wow.
They invited me back.
Wow, my goodness.
I was on a day-to-day contract.
Are you going to go home and watch the film? I've already watched it.
I'm locked in.
Oh, my. Yeah. He actually was watching during the commercial
break. You'll be here.
I'm locked in.
You'll be here. You ain't going nowhere.
But they said something about a PJ from you.
Said what? A PJ?
Not Tucker, but like a plane to Miami.
No, not this trip.
Oh,
it's a two-hour flight. I mean, how bougie do we have to be?
Not this trip.
But like a million airports here.
I'm working on it. I might change my mind.
You ain't wrong.
I might change.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you both tomorrow.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Deuce, are you excited to go to Miami? It's a good pool.
So you can go swimming.
I'll go swimming at my dad's Miami.
So cute. So cute. Little cutie right there.
Well, of course, he's a beautiful little boy. You know Stevie A loves the kids. Mm-hmm. He sure does. He sure does. Now, I know that kid wants to go to Miami. He's looking forward to the jumping in the pool and all of that other stuff. But he is too young to love and appreciate Miami more than me. Therefore, he doesn't want to be in Miami as badly as I do. I just thought that it was important to point that out.
I just have nothing to say with those thirst trap comments, but I do like the Miami music. Are you gonna go swimming like Deuce Tatum? Will you get in the pool or the ocean?
No, I'm a bit busy.
Will you go to the beach?
I got a lot of work.
Will you put your toes in the sand?
I'll be on the beach.
Really?
All week.
Don't be the guy that wears like sneakers and socks at the beach. Pack slides, please.
Don't worry about me in Miami. I'm gonna be just fine.